Hey, what's going on? It's Quinn David Furness. Welcome to my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast for Sunday, April 28th, 2024. Don't think I forgot about you. Sunday at 5 p.m. here, 7 hours to go before missing our deadline. But not the case. We come at you every week with a new episode of the Beantown Podcast for about 330 or so weeks and counting. My name is Quinn, and this is my show. I am the writer, creator, producer, and wardrobe by Quinn. Let's just put it that way. Wearing my nice garage beer. It's a bad day to be a garage beer t-shirt that my future in-laws got for me. What's happening? My name, we already did that. Thank you to our friends in Pakistan for making us the 112th ranked comedy podcast in the great nation of Pakistan. Hello, Karachi. Hello, Hyderabad. Hello, Islamabad. Hello, Dhaka. Dhaka. Oh, he's got the capitals of Senegal and Bangladesh mixed up. There's Dakar and Dhaka, right? Confusing. But thank you for listening to this show. Listener discretion is advised. When you're listening to this program, occasionally we assume language. Two, this podcast is objectively terrible. Stumbling through it today. I told Rachel we were coming back from Indiana, just a little vacation, getaway, Airbnb for a couple nights. And, you know, coming back this morning, we had to drive back, get groceries, drop stuff at home, drive the car to sister's, drop off the car, take the bus back. You know, it was just some moves. And just wasn't feeling it. Energy-wise for the podcast today, so I apologize, but I'm here. I told Rachel, man, if there was ever a day where we were going to have a guest host or just have me write a script and have someone read the script, and that would be the Beantown Podcast today. This would be the week for it, but I'm here. I'm standing tall, true and proud, and we're going to jump into an episode we've never done before, which is good. But this is an annual event. The NFL draft happened over this weekend from Thursday through Saturday. I was plugged in, man. I mean, the first round as a Vikings fan, one of the crazier first rounds in history. And, you know, my podcast that I listen to, shout out to Purple Daily. If you're a Vikings fan and you want daily content, the boys over at Score North is the name of, like, their media company. And then Purple Daily is their Vikings show. But they did a draft party up in Minneapolis at the Fillmore Theater in Minneapolis, which would have been fun to go to. But honestly, like, so they've done a draft party, you know, the last couple of years. I think this was their third time. And I knew I was going to be in Indiana, so I wouldn't be able to go up to Minneapolis for it. I was kind of bummed. But then as I was watching it, I was like, you know, it's a concert venue. They live streamed the whole thing on YouTube 4 hours. Shout out to those guys. That's really tough to do. They're like sitting on stage with microphones talking for 4 hours. And I don't think they had bathroom breaks either. But for the rest of the people, I'm sure it was, you know, hell of a great time. And it's not like you have to stay for the whole time. But for the most part, you're just kind of like standing there in the concert venue, like drinking. And, you know, that's kind of fun for a little bit, but I feel like it would get old after a while. I did something kind of like that. Speaking of draft parties, I went with my friends Tom and Matt to the Blackhawks draft party at the Salt Shed this past year. I guess almost a full year ago now would have been like June, July, whenever the NHL draft is. And we did that, but that worked out well because the Blackhawks had the first pick, and so it was literally just like got there an hour early, took in some of the festivities, and then like stood inside for about 5 minutes while they made the pick, and then I was like, oh yeah, awesome, that's exciting, celebrate. And then, I mean, we left. We were there for like 2 hours total, so... Pros and cons, I get it, but I would love to do something like that in the future. Maybe the Beantown Podcast should host a draft party. We'll see if Rachel will let me bring some of my friends to the apartment. Beantown Podcast draft. Maybe we need a Beantown Podcast fantasy league. Like, draft your favorite things, like the Home Pride Oregon ad read, or this week on the campaign trail, or even an old veteran like the Samson Q2U series. Speaking of this week on the campaign trail, let's Google it to see what happened. Well, I'll say this, you know what, and I don't know if this was this, I think this was more than a week ago, but I was telling my friend friend, my college friend Sam Anderson, who came down to Indiana and hang with us yesterday and today. I was telling him about the Trump clip at Gettysburg. So let's just focus on that. I want to try to find the actual quote, the actual transcript. Trump, Gettysburg, quote, never fight. And I thought of this actually when I was doing a little bit of research for the show, because I wanted to do, or we are going to do, break down some of the best names in the NFL draft, and we can do it superlative style. We'll see how it goes. I'm not, you know, I think I identified a handful of names. I'm like, oh, this is a good one. We got to highlight this. So that's the plan. Let me see if there's, I'm on Twitter here, trying to find if I can get, oh, here we go. It's like a rolling video. This is this week on the campaign trail, and this was already 2 weeks ago, so apologies. Oh, that's not the transcript. Good air quality here. Let me pause this while we figure this out. All right. Sometimes you just gotta set down the mic and admit when you didn't come into this show as well planned as you thought you did. So this was already 12 days ago, April 16th, but Donald Trump was doing the first thing I like about this is he was talking about Gettysburg. He wasn't even at Gettysburg giving the speech. He was in Schnecksville, which a quick Google map search will show you. I think it's closer to like the Scranton area, Allentown. Yeah, Allentown is where it's located. So he wasn't even, you know, at Gettysburg. He was, you know, a handful of hours away. But here's his quote. So he's talking first about just Pennsylvania, broadly speaking, and then he talks about Valley Forge and George Washington and their daring mission. And he says, here we go. I also, you know, this isn't really the most fun part of the quote because the end is just insane, but I like when he gets into his Robert E. Lee defense mode here, especially when he starts by talking about how the Union saves the country at Gettysburg, and then he also mentions Robert E. Lee so that he can play both sides like Rob McElhenney in It's Always Sunny. I'm playing both sides so that I always come out on top. Here it is. So this is in the middle of his speech, almost an hour in, where a Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Quote, never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill, he said. Wow, what? Wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general and they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys, but it was too late. And if you haven't actually seen him doing, it's like a pirate accent. And man, Robert E. Lee, the pirate, rest in peace. So there you go. And that also spurred on this week's Beantown Podcast trivia question. And fair warning, this is going to be one of those questions where unless you are a total Civil War buff, I don't think you're going to know the answer because it's top 10. But I say, hey, if you can, you know, get two or three of these, you're a winner in my book. I think I've heard of half of them. So here it is. We're going to jump in and do it here, and then thanks to our sponsors, and then we'll read some great names from this weekend's NFL draft. So here's the trivia question. The top 10 bloodiest battles in the Civil War. And we'll go 1 to 10 because I think everyone knows what number 1 is, based off of just what we learned in school as well as what I've been talking about for the last 2 minutes. But excuse me, if you're wondering, yes, the answer is to number 1 out of 10 is the Battle of Gettysburg. There you go, in Pennsylvania. So if you want any more time to rattle off some guesses for your top 10 bloodiest Civil War battles, go ahead. This is from ThoughtCo.com, a leader in thought. It's not actually their tagline, but that's what I would do if I were them. Okay, number 2, the Battle of Chickamauga, Chickamauga. Battle of Chickamauga, Georgia, September 1863, the Confederacy won. 35,000 casualties. Yikes. All right, next up, number three, battle. This one I'd never heard of. Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse. May 8th through 21st, a two-week-long battle in 1864 in Virginia. Okay, ended in a stalemate. What a good usage of time. Oh, number four, this one's fun. Sounds like something out of a fan fiction. Battle of the Wilderness. Spooky. Also in Virginia, 1864. Confederates won the battle. Number five, I've heard of this one, the Battle of Chancellorsville, also in Virginia in 1863. Big win from the Confederates. Okay, number six, I think one that a lot of people associate with a deadly battle. And this is actually why I did 10 instead of 5, because I didn't want someone to guess this and then feel shanked. The Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee. That was a tactical victory for the Union in 1862. Number seven, the Battle of Stones River, also in Tennessee. I don't know that one, but looks like it's also called the Second Battle of Murfreesboro, which is where my friend Sam Anderson is going next weekend. Number eight, one that I'm familiar with, the Battle of Antietam, A-N-T-I-E-T-A-M, in Maryland. I've been around there before. I don't think I went to that site when I lived out there. I did go to the Battle of, I think it was Manassas, which is out near Frederick, which is not on this list. Number nine, another famous battle, the Second Battle of Bull Run, 1862, in, what do you know? We just mentioned it, Manassas, Virginia. And then number 10, the Battle of Fort Donelson, D-O-N-E-L-S-O-N, 1862, victory for the Union forces. I don't know if the Confederates were fighting uphill or what. Oh, get this, 17,000 casualties of those 15,000 were Confederate soldiers. That's an absolute drubbing. D-R-U-B-B-I-N-G, 15 out of 17,000 Confederate casualties. So there you go. There's your top 10 bloodiest Civil War battles. Email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Again, that's beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Let us know how you did. In your email, you could also drop us a line on what your submission is for the listener write-in 10th slot, Beantown Podcast horse name. Our top 10 list will be revealed next weekend when we do our special. The Kentucky Derby is next Saturday, May 4th, Cinco de Cuatro. And we'll be revealing our list live on air. So you can text in your suggestion. You can email something in. You can tweet it at BeantownCast. You can hand deliver a note. You could have it be notarized or not notarized. It doesn't really matter to me. It's not that official of a thing. And regardless of whether your suggestion makes our top 10 list, we will read all the suggestions we get because it's just more fun that way, right? This is a family show. Everyone gets to participate, okay? So there you go. That's next week. Big event for us. Our top 10 horse name special. Historic names 61 through 70. We'll see who takes the top spot. I haven't decided yet. I got to go back into my list. I think I have one more that I need to come up with on my own and then figure out the listener suggestion. I think I have 8 that are set in stone potentially right now. So there you go. That'll happen next week. Let's shout out our sponsors and then talk NFL draft for a second here and then wrap up a shorter show. Last week went long. Whatever we were talking about, I don't know. So we'll even it out this week. Thank you to Home Pride Oregon. When you need your home inspected in Central Oregon, this is a big million-dollar decision, right? They talk about the million-dollar question. Well, it's a million-dollar decision. When it comes to home inspections, you do not want to be fighting uphill, me boys. You know who you could call? A guy who's been to Gettysburg, I assume. I don't really know. Steve at 541-410-0316. Ask him about his favorite Civil War battles. He's a pretty big history buff. He'll, you can invite him into your home. He can do a home inspection. Then you guys can talk about, I don't know, the Pacific Theater, the naval strategy of the Japanese. I loved how when you're talking about World War II, you get to call it the Pacific Theater or theater. It makes it sound that much more, it reminds me of the Civil War battles where people would like line up on the lawns to watch the action. Hopefully no strays. Tank Dell, Texans wide receiver, who Steve may have had on his fantasy team at one point. He's like a, he was a rookie this last year. He's an up and comer, and he tore his ACL right at the end of the year, I think, or broke his knee or something. I think it was a broken knee. Then this poor guy gets shot at a nightclub. That's why I try to be home in bed with my Taco Bell by 8 p.m. sharp. All this is to say, homeprideoregon@gmail.com, 541-410-0316, homeprideoregon, inspection, perfection. Of course, our good friends at the Samson Q2U series has got crisp, clear audio quality. We were having breakfast this morning in Indiana, and when the check came, it said our server's name was Joshua 43, and I said, hey, that's one of my favorite chapters, which begs the question, two questions. One, does Joshua actually have 43 books? I don't think it does. I just did a Google search. How many books? It's a damn shame, because question two, or how many chapters does Joshua have? Because question number two is going to be, what happens in Joshua 43? But I don't think there's that many Bible books that get up to 43. There's only 24 chapters. I guess they did, one for each time they circled the wall, seven, and then there wasn't that much else to talk about. Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Gosh, I wish I had God in the Oregon Trail. Every time I try to cross a snake, I think I lose about 10 cattle. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That must be how the Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego survived. All right, there's a lot of verses here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It would take like 5 minutes. Ooh, this last, these last two verses, though, God sounds pretty pissed. Your first father sinned. Those I sent to teach you rebelled against me. So I disgraced the dignitaries of your temple. I consigned, C-O-N-S-I-G-N-E-D. God really opened up the thesaurus for that one. Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. I've got to do more scorn in my life. Oh, verse 20, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. This is an interesting one. This is one sentence, but it spans two verses. How do you think they came up with that? Shouldn't it be, hey, if you got a... Who decided... it's one thing to be like, oh, God inspired these people to write these books, these chapters, these verses, whatever. But who sat there and decided, oh, this one sentence is going to be a verse, and then this one sentence is going to be two verses? Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Seems like someone was late on a homework assignment, and they just started writing random numbers on the page. And that's how we got these Bible verses. My favorite one is Jesus wept. Easiest to memorize when I was in Wednesday night church as a kid. And the faster you memorize, the faster you get to go to game night and dominate, especially when we played Sharks and Minnows or Tug of War. Good stuff. When God speaks, he uses a Samson. And then, of course, our good friends at Cuts by Q. When you need a fresh dude, something snappy or new, or just old-fashioned, I'll do bowl cuts for you. Let's throw back to the 90s. Call the experts at Cuts by Q. Okay, last piece of business here, and there are a decent number of names, but I'm not going to elaborate on any of them too long. We're just going to kind of pick and choose names that I like. There's like 230-some draft picks in football, and I did go through the list before I started recording to ensure that there was actually going to be some good names, and there certainly were. I did not feel disappointed. So we're going to go round by round here, just breaking down some names. It doesn't really matter what position they play or what team they got drafted to. It's all in the name, right? So here we go. From Thursday night, they just do the first round, but there were a couple good ones Thursday night. The fifth player off the board went to the Chargers, Joe Alt. Maybe the shortest name ever drafted. 2-3-letter names, Joe Alt. Also, one of the very few players whose last names has its own keyboard key. I'm looking at my Alt key right now. Pretty badass. And also, it's very reminiscent of Steve Holt from Arrested Development. So, Joe Alt, congratulations. I guess I don't really have a superlative for that one. Some of these I have superlatives for, and some of them I'm just going to highlight. So, don't bust my balls over here. Something that I feel like we just didn't talk about enough leading up to the draft process, and now that it's over, it's kind of the ship has sailed, if you will, but something that was so fascinating to me. So there were six quarterbacks taken in the first round this year, and that was kind of, you know, everyone knew it was going to happen for the most part. That was the projection. Of course, you had Caleb Williams, who the Bears took. You had Jaden Daniels, went to the Commanders. Drake May to the Patriots. Vikings traded up to get J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. But then the last two guys, their names, it's absurd. And I just feel like we didn't talk about it enough. So you have Michael Penix Jr., P-E-N-I-X, like penis with an X. And then the next quarterback taken is Bo Nix, N-I-X. So just Penix without the P-E. And these are such weird names, like Penix and Nix. You never see that with the X. And you have two, not only two players in the first round of the draft, but two of the like highly touted quarterbacks. Those names are so similar. Michael Penix, of course, hilariously going to the Falcons, who just signed Kirk Cousins to a $100 million guaranteed contract. And then even not to be outdone, even more hilariously, Sean Payton getting boxed out of the good quarterbacks and being forced to take Bo Nix. So they're pretty much screwed. But Penix and Nix, just, we didn't talk about that enough. So I'm just putting my stamp on that. A couple other ones here in the first round. This one is only exciting if you're a big football fan, but the Seahawks took defensive tackle Byron Murphy II. And what was interesting about that was the Vikings already have Byron Murphy Jr. He's a cornerback. And a lot of team or a lot of mocks were having the Vikings take Byron Murphy II, and that would have been so awesome if the Vikings had both Byron Murphy Jr. and Byron Murphy II, but it was not to be. A couple other ones here. Oh, you can't leave the first round without giving a shout-out to Chop Robinson. Sounds like an action hero, like a toy from the 80s or something, right? Chop Robinson, defensive end to the Miami Dolphins. And then you had, I thought there was one other one I wanted to highlight here. I guess I'm going to keep going. So you go to the second round here, and the good names keep going. The second pick of the second round to the Los Angeles Chargers. Speaking of never fight uphill me boys, never fight uphill me lads, Ladd McConkey, L-A-D-D, McConkey, M-C-K-O-N-K, no, M-C-C, two C's in a row, O-N-K-E-Y, Ladd McConkey. A white wide receiver. And then the other white guy who went this round, well, there's probably more, but Cooper DeJean was the Iowa cornerback. He goes to the Eagles. He's French. He's kind of fancy. And he's like the first white cornerback drafted in football in a decade. So shout out to Cooper DeJean. A couple of good apostrophes here. Jerzon Newton out of Illinois. Juice Newton. I don't know if that's what he goes by, but that's probably what I'll call him. And then he went to the Commanders. And then Tavondre Sweat. Oh, three in a row, actually. Jalen Polk, J-A, apostrophe, Lynn Polk, and then Tavondre Sweat, T, apostrophe, Vondre Sweat. It was a defensive tackle to the Titans. An all-timer, great name to the Saints, right after Cooper DeJean went, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and if you're curious, yes, there's a hyphen between cool and aid, K-O-O-L hyphen A-I-D, Kool-Aid McKinstry. You ever really thought about Kool-Aid? It's like, how do they name it? Oh, it's to help you decrease your temperature. It's an aid for cooling. Kool-Aid. I hadn't thought about it until right now, but now I'll think about it every time I watch a Saints game, which is not frequently. A couple other ones here. This guy from the Raiders has three last names. You hear about guys who have two last names. And this guy has three last names. Jackson Powers Johnson. Sounds like a law firm. There you go. The Raiders, a center. This one is the superlative for left their finger on the keyboard key for an extra beat. Mason Smith, M-A-A-S-O-N, Smith. All right. There's a couple other good ones here. Oh, joining the illustrious club, the Cleveland Browns drafting defensive tackle Michael Hall Jr. And we already had some Michael Halls in our lives. We have Michael C. Hall, who plays Dexter. There's Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club. And now there's Michael Hall Jr. for the Browns. If he turns into a legendary player, it's going to be very confusing when you're trying to Google search these guys. This guy could be... I don't know. it's a very nice, simple name, and it reminds me of Sean Paul. Is that the name of a singer, like a rapper? This guy's name to the Dolphins is Patrick Paul. That's his younger, less successful brother. Although, hey, he's a second-round draft pick. Maybe he'll have some success. This one is called, you were supposed to copy our homework without making it too obvious. The Steelers' longtime kicker is Chris Boswell. Well, the Atlanta Bucks drafted edge player Chris Braswell. And maybe if it's more like an undergarment type of name, maybe it's Chris Braswell. B-R-A-S-W-E-L-L. Braswell. Sounds like he could open up a lingerie store after if the whole NFL thing doesn't work out down there in Tampa. Feels like there'd be a good crowd for that. A lot of thirsty MILFs. At least that's what the internet told me. Let's see, anything else here? This thing, I don't have anything fun for these, but just a good run of a couple names here right at the end. First to the Lions, you have Enos Rakestraw Jr. Sounds like something out of a Hawthorne novel. Maybe Dickens. And then the Ravens took Roger Rosengarten. Kind of reminds me of Henry Rotengartner, Rookie of the Year. And then you got out of BYU to the Chiefs, Kingsley Suamataia. S-U-A-M-A-T-A-I-A. A lot of A's in there. So there you go. Good run right at the end of the second round. Plowing ahead here to the third. I'm excited for the fifth. That's my favorite one because there's some pod racer names. Okay. And the third here, I call this the superlative A before E, except after C. But in this case, it's after C and also A before E. So we can write that down, put it on a trophy. It's Caden Wallace, C-A-E-D-A-N Wallace, offensive tackle, Penn State to the Patriots. Next up, right after Caden Wallace went a guy who definitely sounds like a character name from Full Metal Jacket. It's Junior Colson, Michigan linebacker. Next up, this superlative is most likely to be Don Beebe's alleged long-lost kid. It's Cooper Beebe. And, of course, the guy named Cooper got drafted by the Cowboys. He's an offensive guard. So there you go. This one is sounds like something you could buy at a Korean grocery store, H-Mart maybe. Out of Maryland, offensive tackle to the Raiders, Delmar Glaze. I've definitely had Delmar Glaze on like some Brussels sprouts in the past. I think it was pretty good, if I remember right. Let's see, something else here. Oh, from Illinois, tight end Tip Ryman, T-I-P, Tip. Tip a canoe and Tyler, too. Tip Ryman. This one is the award for end of the alphabet, Zach Zinter, Z-A-K-Z-I-N-T-E-R, Zach Zinter. This is the award for least likely to be an offensive tackle, but he is an offensive tackle. Dominic Puni, P-U-N-I. Dominic Puni. Not CUNY, not, you know, City College of New York or City University of New York or whatever that is. This is Puni. Okay. This one to the Packers, Missouri linebacker, most likely to be voiced by Kevin Spacey in a Pixar film. It's Tyron Hopper. Bugs Life buffs. We'll know the reference. Let's see, anything else here? Oh, to the Bills with the 95th overall pick, defensive tackle. This is going to be the award for the odds that someone with this name has been drafted in the NFL pretty much every single year somehow. The player's name is Dwayne Carter. I swear the Vikings have like a Dwayne McBride. And Andre Carter, they drafted last year. Dwayne Carter just fits, slots right in. This is most likely to be named after a president who got assassinated. There's a good award for you. McKinley Jackson. And then last one. Oh, this one's fun too. Two of them. One for the Rams as a safety. Two Ks. Cameron Kitchens. Cameron Kinchens. That's tough to say. Kinchens. And then finally, the award out of Rice, wide receiver, to the Commanders, most likely to be overdrafted because of his brothers and his dad. It's Luke McCaffrey. And Luke McCaffrey is going to get drafted in like the 15th round of fantasy football drafts because it's like, what if he's actually as good as his, you know, family members? Even though he's going to be like the fifth wide receiver in Washington trying to make the team. Okay, round four here, halfway through. Let's see. Although we definitely had some of my favorite ones already. I think it was like round seven. There were almost none that I really loved. So we'll see. Oh, this is most likely to be chugged with zero foresight, zero thought about how you'll feel in the morning in college. Safety out of Oregon to the Packers, Evan Williams. There you go. Sam Anderson, who we were hanging out with this week. Sam Anderson and I would chug Evan Williams before going to a house party. And just, man, that stuff was rough going down. Not good. Other names here. This is most likely to maybe be Justin Jefferson's brother because they also went to LSU. Defensive tackle to the Jaguars. It's Jordan Jefferson. Okay. Most likely to have a pasta named after him, center out of Wisconsin to the Colts. It's Tanor, T-A-N-O-R, Bortolini, an Italian center. Pretty cool. Interesting to see how far Italians have been able to come in this country. Good for them. Most likely, I think there were two of these. It's the first one. Most likely to definitely be a porn star. Tory Taylor, punter, Iowa, to the Bears. First special teams are taken. Also definitely some sort of, you know, busty bimbo MILF with fake boobs, Tory Taylor. But she was active from like 2002 to 2006. And she had a haircut to match the era. And now she's retired, hopefully living her best life. Maybe she works at the braless, whatever it was, store down in Tampa. Braswell, that's what it was. Not Roswell, Braswell. These are aliens with large chests. Moving ahead here, most likely to be portrayed by Josh Hutcherson in a Will Ferrell 2000s movie. This is Bucky Irving. Bucky, whatever their last name was in the movie, but plays Will Ferrell's stepbrother, Robert Duvall's kid. Good stuff. Kicking and Screaming. Fun film. Definitely like, you know, a lower tier Will Ferrell movie compared to like his top films. But then when you consider how bad a lot of Will Ferrell films got over the years, I think Kicking and Screaming, all of a sudden you take a second look at it, you're kind of like, oh, this is pretty solid. I mean, it's not Talladega Nights, but I think it's the same tier of just like sheer stupidity as like Blades of Glory. And it's way better than some of the other ones he made. So good film. Bucky Irving, running back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, another Italian. We got Giovanni Manu Ginobili, before and after, Sports Edition, offensive tackle out of British Columbia to the Lions, an Italian in British Columbia. Sounds like a famous painting or something like that. Let's see, anything else here? Oh, this is most likely to work at Braswell in Southwest Florida. This is TJ Tampa. He's a cornerback, a black one, I think, I assume. It's typically safe to assume, to the Ravens. And then, let's see, this one I don't even know. It's just an interesting name I wanted to highlight. A safety out of Utah to the Lions, Sione Vaki, S-I-O-N-E. Is that one of those Irish names that looks like Sione, but it's actually Sean? That's probably true. And, I mean, Vaki, V-A-K-I, very Irish last name. So it's Sean Vaki. Okay. It's like Shaban. It's like Siobhan, but it's actually Shaban. You never know what those Irish are up to. Okay, round five. This is my favorite one because their last category we'll have for round five was most likely to be a pod racer, and they're two great pod racing names. But before we get there, most likely to have been raised in a strict, hardcore Baptist family, it's Nehemiah Pritchett. Nehemiah, great Old Testament book. We were already in Joshua and Isaiah today. Add Nehemiah to the list. Maybe we'll do a reading next week. Another name I don't really know how to categorize is just fun, a cornerback out of Maryland to the Chargers, Tarheeb Still. T-A-R-H-E-E-B. How did he not go to North Carolina? His name is one letter away from Tarheel. It's Tarheeb Still. All right. This one is also just fun. Center out of Georgia to the Bills, Cedric with an S, Van Pran Granger. P-R-A-N hyphen Granger. We're the ones who get things done, although this one doesn't have an I in it. I think Granger usually does. Most likely to be that guy who wrote that one book, and now he's a Republican in Ohio. This is J.D. Bertrand. I think that guy is J.D. Vance. He was like an attorney. What was the name of that book? I can't remember. Let's look it up. I read it because it was supposed to be like bridging the gap between, you know, ideologies right and left. And, you know, this guy was, J.D. Vance was kind of like moderate. And now he's got a lot more right wing ever since his book took off. Hillbilly Elegy, that's what it was. Or maybe I'm just misremembering how the whole thing went down. But I remember reading it and being like, oh, this guy's pretty sensible. And now with some of the stuff he's come out with, he seems a little bit less sensible. Continuing on here. Oh, most likely to be a Texas quarterback, but he wasn't. He was a South Carolina quarterback to the Saints. Spencer Rattler. He's kind of got like a Patrick Mahomes look if you want to look him up. Interesting guy. And then most likely to be the son of Jeremiah Trotter. It's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to the Eagles. Linebacker out of Clemson. Name that's pretty, just pretty fun to say. Chau Smith Wade. C-H-A-U Smith. First name is Chau, and then last name is Smith hyphen Wade. If your first name was Chau Smith, that'd be pretty cool too, but it's not. Maybe it is. Man, maybe he didn't want to be Chau Smith Smith Wade, and he shortened it to make it easier for people like me. I appreciate you, Chau. Most likely to have a brother who already plays for the Saints, but now he got drafted by the Dolphins, is Mohamed Kamara, edge rusher, Colorado State, the Rams. Okay, let's get to these. Most likely to be pious, Jacob Monk. Most likely to be portrayed by Tony Shalhoub in a, you know, Lifetime film, original Hallmark film, Jacob Monk. Okay, another Bible book, Javon Solomon, edge out of Troy to the Bills. Okay, so here we go. Towards the end, another Kalen, C-A-E-L-E-N, Kalen Carson. Didn't this guy already get drafted? Did he get drafted twice? That's pretty cool. Oh, and then most likely to open up a car dealership along the interstate, it's Jalen Ford. Come down to Jalen Ford for a hot deal on these, you know, Ford F1 trucks. Memorial Day is hot and the deals are hotter. Okay. Right towards the end in the last seven picks here, we have two guys who are most likely to be pod racers. So drafted from the Toronto Argonauts, I didn't even know CFL players get drafted, but the Jets drafted cornerback Quantez Stiggers. If you want the spelling, here we go. Q-W-A-N apostrophe T-E-Z, last name Stiggers, S-T-I-G-G-E-R-S. Goy, Goy. Boy, the broadcast team is going to have to be very careful when they're talking about this black cornerback when he's playing on special teams for the Jets. Going to have to enunciate very clearly. They don't want to become a meme on Twitter. Quantez Stiggers. I said Stiggers. And then out of the Saints, a couple of picks before, a wide receiver out of Pittsburgh. Another great pod racing name. Bub Means. B-U-B. Means. M-E-A-N-S. That also, this will make sense to about two people listening. But we had a game, a CD-ROM game, that came in a cereal box, I think, that my grandparents sent us growing up, called Mini Car Racing. It was a really fun game and really, really well like constructed and everything. Excellent game. You can watch it on YouTube. But the, you know, got people you would, the like CPU guys you would race against all had, you know, their names and their signature cars and stuff. Anyways, Bub Means absolutely sounds like one of those types of names. Okay, we got two more rounds here, and I think for the most part, you know, round seven was not that strong from what I remember, so we'll jump into round six here. Most likely to have played college football at Fordham and then get drafted into World War II and then come back and win league MVP to the Vikings, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Walter Rouse. Very old school name, Walter Rouse. This guy, black guy, 6'6", 313 pounds. That's a big boy. All right. There's one or two other ones here I wanted to make sure I grabbed. Just a fun first name out of Tulane wide receiver, Jaquan Jackson, J-H-A'QUAN, Jaquan Jackson. Most likely to be, you know, you want to create a new player in Madden and they put just a basic name in there already that you can edit. Johnny Wilson, Florida State wide receiver. Okay, moving on here. Name most likely to make me be hungry for some buffalo wings. It's Mekhi Wingo, W-I-N-G-O. All right. Most likely to be a quarterback that definitely doesn't make it in the NFL. The New England Patriots, they took Drake May, third overall in the draft, and here they are in round six taking another quarterback. It's Joe Milton, the third. I've heard of this like concept before of taking two quarterbacks in one draft. I mean, that's what happened with Kirk Cousins. They took, you know, RG3, second overall out of Baylor, and then they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round out of Michigan State. And, I mean, I guess it worked out for them, but when you're getting into six-round quarterbacks, and that's the thing with the Patriots, that it's an interesting – I don't fully get it, because if you're the Patriots, you have – I think they brought in the black guy, Jacoby Brissett, to potentially be the, you know, starter this year while Drake May is getting ready. So you spent all that, you know, draft power capital on Drake May, third overall. My big gulp from like 5 hours ago is officially empty. And then it's already risky taking quarterback there because the Patriots are so bare bones in terms of their talent that it's like, is it really going to work to throw, you know, Drake May in there? It's questionable. So then you spend, and I don't know how many, maybe the Patriots had like 10 picks, I don't know. But then you spend another pick, albeit a low one, but a six-round pick on a quarterback again, and now it's like, that could have been a guy, a special teamer or something, someone who could have really contributed to your team, and you're just throwing another quarterback at it. I don't know. This feels a little bit strange. Let's see here. There's a defensive tackle out of Georgia drafted by the Falcons. He doesn't even have to move. Good for him. Zion Logue, L-O-G-U-E. That definitely sounds like a Marvel supervillain, right? Zion Logue. Okay. This one's just fun to say. Defensive tackle, Mississippi State to the Panthers. Jaden Crumedy. Not a comedy. You know, like the Joker says, Joaquin Phoenix, I used to think my life was a tragedy. Actually, it's a comedy. This one is a crumedy. So, rip. All right, getting towards the end here. I know I have a sneeze coming on, but excuse me, there it is. Most likely to have been one of those guys, one of those 15,000 Confederates who died in the Battle of the Wilderness or whatever it was, Nathaniel Watson. There is definitely a Nathaniel Watson who died at the Battle of Bull Run as a linebacker from Mississippi State to the Browns. Here's our second of two porn stars. We already had Torrey Taylor. This is the male equivalent. This is an offensive guard out of Boston College, Catholic, mind you. This is Christian Mahogany. That's a black man with a large, let's just say he's very well endowed, which may be true. Maybe he's not even actually a porn star. But if offensive guard doesn't work out, maybe he'll lose some pounds and his 10-inch pal there will know what to do. All right. Anything else here I wanted to mention here around six? Oh, this guy was actually being drafted to the Vikings a handful of times. It didn't happen. This is most likely to go to LSU, but he didn't. He went to Arkansas. But oh, it's close. One state away. Bo Limmer, B-E-A-U-X. Bo Limmer. And then we get to round seven here. I don't remember seeing any in round seven that I really liked. But here we go. Right off this first one, I might have missed it. It's interesting. This is most likely to be, what's the name of the Jason Sudeikis soccer show? I want to say Will Trent, but that's not what it is. Jason Sudeikis soccer. This is brutal. It's one of those things, Ted Lasso, one of those things where everyone else knows exactly what it is and I can't think of it. Most likely to do a reverse Ted Lasso, this is Travis Clayton, guard from England, if you can believe it. Not a soccer guard, but an actual offensive guard. Travis Clayton. I don't know if he has a Cockney accent or British or Scottish or Welsh or Irish or Northern Irish. or Leeds-ish. I don't know. We went to a place called Leeds Public House for supper last night. Pretty good. Had a burger. I was like five beers in. It was awesome. One of the best things in life, I almost never have burgers. Like, I could probably count the number of times I had a burger each year, like three or four times. So I went all in on a burger, burger and fries. It was amazing. Another good LSU name, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. That's a good one. And then we're just about towards the end here. Another Brit, but not actually from Britland, MJ Devonshire. Devon, D-E-V-O-N, and then the Shire. Maybe he's a hobbit. I don't know. Let's see. Anything else here as we wrap up? Another Madden create your player name. Center out of Miami to the Bengals, Matt Lee. Almost matched Joe Alt in the lack of characters department, but not quite. Good effort, though. Jowan Biggs, J-O-W-O-N, that's a fun one. Oh, Briggs, Lance Briggs, maybe it's his son. And then, here's one, Patrick Kane's cousin from Purdue, safety to the Ravens, Sanusi Kane. Never seen that name in my life, S-A-N-O-U-S-S-I, Sanusi. And then if you're curious, Mr. Irrelevant this year, or right at the end, it's not that interesting a name, but you got to mention Mr. Irrelevant. Safety out of Alabama to the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. It's Jalen Key. So there you go. Those are some of my favorite names from this year's NFL draft. If you have any that you would like to highlight or past year's names, what's your favorite name in the NFL? Let us know. One of my favorites, Taco Charlton. He played for a little while for the Cowboys. Good stuff. Well, thank you for indulging me as we went through some fun names. And again, next week is our horse name special. So you've got about 5 days to get those names in. Kentucky Derby next Saturday. I will be watching. Hopefully you will be too. And that's about all that I have for you guys. Thank you for tuning into my show. Thank you for supporting us, leaving us a 5-star review, whatever you want to do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll end it there. My name is Quinn Davis Furness. Thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe. Stay sane. And I'll check in on you next time. Bye.